Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 364 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez, here to riff on everything going on in the world of pro wrestling. This is going to be a very free-flowing show, we think, tonight. Guys, if you're live in the chat room, let us know. We're going to let you kind of drive the discussion tonight because, frankly, you know, there's two pay-per-views coming up in the next couple of weeks, but right now we're just kind of killing time until those pay-per-views happen. So we're going to talk a little AEW, a little WWE. We got some thoughts on War Games and how that's been structured on the WWE side. But I mean, outside of that, let us know what you want us to talk about. Justin Joint, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Tired. I'm actually, you haven't asked yet, but you know, what's in the glass? I'm going back to the NAs for a while because I have been getting after it for the last week. Kind of need to take a break.
That's all right. I respect it. Jesse, how you doing?
So Justin, I see a Guinness NA. I think I slammed three of those on St. Patrick's Day.
Really? The NAs?
Yeah. People just kept feeding me them. I was just like, I am going on a date in a couple of hours. I don't want to be hammered going into it. Can someone just get me a Guinness NA? And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, do you want another one? Sure. Okay. You want another one? Sure. Just they're pounding Guinness NAs.
They're not too bad. I mean, just like with any NA, they taste like a watered down version of the actual thing.
It's very true. And I do have a rhetorical question, Ryan. What is higher, the amount of IWC trolls and tribalists that are still on X, or the ABV of your alcohol from last night's Bear podcast?
Yeah, I had an 11% beer last night on Bears Over Beers, if you guys checked that out at all. Were you listening, Jesse? Did you check it out a little bit?
I listened to half of it because, like, I'm a football fan first and foremost, but the Chicago Bears don't interest me as much, of course, as you. So, yeah. And I expect that. If you were to listen to a Vikings podcast, I'd expect you to listen to like half of it and then cut out.
Yeah.
What was that the was beer a fun you show. Were drinking?
Backwoods Bastard from Founders.
Huh.
It's wow. Kind of a, it's a barrel aged stout. It's kind of, it's got a bourbon taste to it. It's really good. It's like bourbon mixed with beer, basically. It's solid, kind of a scotchy taste to it too. I don't know how to describe it. I think you would like it. I haven't had it in years though.
It's not really like
a stout. It's not thick. It has like a thinner body to it, but it has that kind of bourbony taste to it. I don't know.
There's not a lot of stouts that I like. You know, Guinness is really about the only one that I'll drink consistently. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason is like, I think there's a lot of them that are kind of coffee flavored, and I love coffee. The coffee in my morning is like the best part of my day. I don't like anything else that is like coffee flavored, like candies or drinks. It's just, I don't know what it is. It just does not transfer for me.
I think you would like this one. Next time you're over, I will have one if there's still one in the fridge and pour you a little bit. Because it's
all right.
it's not really like a stout. It's thinner body. It's not dark like the beer you're drinking now, like black. It's darker, but it's, I don't know, like more of a brown color. But it has that kind of whiskey taste to it. It's really good, but I hadn't had it a long time. And, you know, given the way the last 3 weeks have gone for the Bears, I was like, I need something strong. Something strong to talk about this football team's implosion. And that's a good show. I did not go beer tonight, though. Yeah.
Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I went Yellow Rose. Shout out to our guy, Frank Pettiani.
Hold that. Okay. It looked pink there for a second. I was like, wait a second.
The light's making it look a little odd. You can't really see the brown color too much. But yeah, it's Yellow Rose. I had a pour the other night and sent Frank a message, and like, because he recommended it to us. And I think we all tried it. It's good stuff. So yeah, I want the whiskey tonight.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Samantha, for reminding me. Dude, I was up in, actually, Jesse, take note here. I was up in your neck of the woods this past weekend and had, I mean, it's like a top three beer for me. It's a lager, but it's, to me, it was just like the smoothest, you know, domestic light beer, but it was freaking incredible. Montucky cold snack. I think the closest we can get it around here, Ryan, is in Des Moines, I found out. So we need to maybe make a road trip down there. Holy smokes. Those things are dangerous. If you got a cold can of that in your hand, you're going to be lucky for that to survive 10 minutes.
Interesting. I'll have to try.
Where is it out of?
I think Montana, but don't quote me on that.
It would seem about right with the name. Okay. And it's in the Twin Cities liquor store, obviously.
Yeah, we went to Bricksworth up in Minneapolis because like they have all these weird wing flavors. They had like a pickle flavored one. They had a Cool Ranch Dorito one. Both of those ended up being okay. The wings were good, but the flavors were lackluster. But the table next to us just had like, it looked like three dozen empty cans of this cold snack. And so we're like, well, frick, we got to try this, see what's going on with it. And oh boy, they went down quick. So we ended up going to Total Wine and picking up a 12 pack that lasted, I don't know, maybe an hour between three of us.
Interesting.
Good to know. Okay. I'll give that a whirl. I have two recommendations for you coffee wise that are beers. There's a coffee lager from Modest. I've always recommended Modest. It's light. It's fantastic. And then Bent Paddle's Black Cold Press Ale, which is probably my favorite coffee drink. Beer-wise.
I have had that one. That's solid. That is really good.
Do you drink normal coffee, Jesse?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. They have that hint. It's very good. It splices in nicely with a beer.
Okay. Montana beer. I'm going to have to look for that one. Jesse, did you have anything in the glass, by the way?
No, just agua. And then it's in my sports theme. It's from US Bank Stadium.
Okay. Nice. Well, you know, if you can get tickets to that Bears-Vikings game up there, I will still go, even though it's probably not going to be as interesting as I thought it would be this year. We'll see how the home stretch goes. But if you can get tickets, I will come up for that Monday night game.
You're not ready to give up on Caleb yet, are you?
Oh, no way.
Okay. No, all right.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Whoever is, they're insane.
I'm ready to give up on the coaching staff. I was glad that they got rid of the offensive coach, but I think the head guy needs to go. I mean, that's the root of all the problems, so... We'll see how this Packers game goes. If they lose by 40 points, maybe Matt Eberflus will be fired the next day. We'll see. Not expecting a great performance, but let's keep it pro wrestling, you guys.
Yeah.
You guys,
bye,
just
Samantha.
Saw,
yeah, I know. I was just going to say.
You guys just saw the names going across the bottom of our wonderful patrons. Guys, lots of great content has dropped there recently. We just had TRN Classics go up reviewing the 31st Saturday night's main event from November of 1992. And we've got another TRN Classics on the horizon. There's a poll up right now, patrons. So if you haven't voted in it, make sure you vote. Last I saw, though, Survivor Series 92 was running away with it. And I can't make any official announcements, but I will just say that I am in negotiations for a guest on that show who I think longtime listeners of this pod would enjoy hearing on the pod. Mm-hmm. So... We'll see. We'll see who we get for a guest on that one. But yeah, That would be a lot of fun. I believe that show was near Cleveland, Ohio. Was it not?
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
We'll see what we can get going for TRN Classics here in a couple of weeks. But it should be a good one. If you want access, of course, link in the broadcast description. $5 a month gets you access to the entire archive of over 160 bonus shows. We've got merch giveaways, the Patreon Facebook group, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. Number one way to support the pod. Guys, let's start with WWE. All right, because I think anyone who's clicking on this thumbnail on YouTube, if they get through our 10 minutes of talking sports and booze, they'll be waiting for this right now. And it's Survivor Series 2024, Vancouver, coming at you in a couple of weeks. And of course, because now, you know, they've gotten in the routine of doing the War Games matches at Survivor Series, we're set for the War Games match. And Jesse, we have some criticisms of how this has been built up. Would you like to have the floor on this one?
For this year's iteration of the, I'm going to steal this from Justin, don't sue me, your two-ring steel cage match at Survivor Series, instead of a four-on-four with the Bloodlines, which is perfectly, I'm perfectly okay with it, I think that's the way they should roll, they're going to throw a five-on-five scenario in there, and they're just trying to pluck people out of thin air who are loosely tied to both factions, and you're going to find out later that one of them is not loosely tied to either of these factions. So, spoiler alert right there. I got criticisms on that. And then the end of Raw is painting a picture that we're going to see a women's two-ring steel cage match this year when there hasn't been anything that has warranted a blood feud between four women, or five for that matter, a five-on-five. You're just throwing together five women just for the heck of it in the namesake because it's Survivor Series War Games instead of it being properly built over the last 4 to 6 months. And it's just a really ugly look right now, Ryan and Justin. It's horrible.
Not good. Is that what you're saying? Not good. Not effing good.
Not effing good, Ryan and Justin. Not effing good, Tama Tonga.
Look, Tama Tonga's in our chat room. My God. Who knew? Yeah, you know, we've given Hunter his due with some of the booking on the show, and in other times we've gone after Hunter since he's taken over. And I think we talked about on our last pod, you know, with Crown Jewel and, you know, the meaningless new title belt that's going to just become this trope every year they do at Crown Jewel because it's time to crown the new champion of, you know, the double brand champion or whatever the hell. You know, you're going to have your top world champions going at it on this show overseas on a Saturday in the middle of the afternoon, and you're just blowing one of the biggest matches you could possibly do just because it's that time of the year. And here we have that again, where now it's War Games has become the trope at Survivor Series. It's that time of the year. We have to do it. And honestly, I shudder to even call this thing War Games. I rant on this every single year on the podcast. It ain't War Games when you have no roof on the cage. I'm sorry. It's just not. You got to be trapped in there.
I'm going to go back to X.com quick. There was somebody who is, I think, somewhat known in the wrestling community asking for recommendations to go back and watch a War Games match. And he referred to something from in between 2018 and 2022.
Oh, no. Come on.
When a lot of the comments were pointing him to Wrestle War 92.
Yeah.
Obviously, the best War Games match there was. Also, War Games 91. I think those were the two that I saw the most. But we're looking at this dude like, what? You want to see acrobatics with no roof over the cage? Okay, sounds good. 50 minutes long also, twice the time investment? No, go back and watch your War Games.
That's the other thing. I mean, this match is guaranteed to go about an hour. I mean, when you factor in the long entrances, it probably will be over an hour, just given how these have gone in recent years. And yes, the greatest ones are half that running time. I can't say I'm really looking forward to this show that much. And yeah, I mean, the women's match, they don't need a women's War Game match right now. You just don't need it. I know Justin is pining for Survivor Series, though. He talked about flying to Vancouver.
Yeah, I just couldn't book the ticket. No flights out of Waterloo, Iowa, straight to Vancouver. Otherwise, I would have considered it.
Maybe you could have chartered a jet. Really got all on it. Maybe your boy Elon could have sent you a jet.
My boy Elon. Come on now. I will quit this pod.
Speaking of X.com, guys, we are on X.com's Twitter. I still call it Twitter, although not very much anymore. Get on Blue Sky. It's blowing up. It's like old Twitter. All your best wrestling follows are there. I promise you. All three of us and the pod are now on Blue Sky. Check it out.
Hey, I've got some questions. Okay. And just real quick, you know, for anybody who's very pro WWE and doesn't really like the way we're slandering or talking shit about this double ring steel cage match. We have a lot of criticisms for the Blood and Guts, the AEW version too, where we think those go way too long. Like the whole purpose of this match is it's supposed to be like this bloodbath, you know, just beating the crap out of each other, slugfest. And even over there, it's like, you know, the match beyond starts and then we got like another half an hour. So it's a bit of a drag. It just means that everything that comes before the match beyond doesn't matter. That is what they're teaching this current generation of fans. And for anybody who grew up on the older stuff, that stinks. Having said that, I have the tiniest glimmer of hope for this year's men's one. If they can wrangle the time down and if we can get some blood, especially because it's a bloodline match. And, you know, there's three things that make war games. It's two rings. It's the cage all the way over the top and blood, because it's supposed to be a super violent match. So I'll be very curious. Actually, that's really the only thing I'm curious about when it comes to Survivor Series is if there'll be blood in the War Games match. But have they hinted as to who these final competitors are going to be in this match? Because like I, everybody's kind of assuming the fifth spot for the new bloodline is going to be The Rock, right? Do we think that's going to happen? Because I'm pretty sure his new movie's bombing, so he doesn't have anything else to do.
Well, hey, Moana 2 comes out soon. So that one will blow up. I maintain, by the way, I don't want to get us too off track, but hell, the whiskey's flowing. Moana is The Rock's greatest movie. Yep. It's his best movie. It is. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yep. My right. text thread, I'm going to get us off track a little bit more if we go back. They're bringing their kids to go see it. I think the first weekend it comes out, I'm debating bringing mine.
I love Moana.
I found out he saw the original Moana already, so I'm like, okay. Sold. I still bring the earbuds.
I think his best live action is still The Rundown. Like I was actually just thinking about this earlier today, trying to rack my brain as to what the last good Rock movie I saw that he was the star of. Because I think that first Jumanji movie wasn't too bad.
Walking Tall is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those came in within like a year of each other. The Rundown, Walking Tall. Those were
It was close.
Yeah, I would say one of those two. Yeah. Sorry. Anyways, I mean, they taped Raw, as Jesse was alluding to, for next week. So there was a tease of one new competitor. I don't know if we want to have spoilers on here.
I know.
Piss off too many people. So we won't talk about that. But
put it in the private chat for me.
All right. One sec.
That we can do.
Thoughts on The Rock, Jesse, while I'm doing that?
Being a part of it, I honestly, if they had left it 4-on-4, I'd be like, hey, this has been extremely well built. I'm a fan of where they're going with this, especially bringing Sammy back into the fold. I know that it was kind of rushed, but at the same time, hey, it warrants it. It makes sense. 4-on-4, bring the OGs back together to face the Timu version of the bloodline. Although Jacob Fatu is not Timu whatsoever.
No. Jacob Fatu shines every time he's out there. And he needs to take over. Are we still down on Jesse? Are you still down on Solo? As down as I am on him?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just the whole 3-in-1,000,000 with a win-loss record. And he's starting to show a little personality, I think, the last couple of weeks. I think that it's been kind of fun, a little bit of a twist of the character. But at the same time, like, we've never taken him as a credible bloodline leader. I mean, we'd love to see the guy behind him take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, War Games, we will be covering out on the pod, you know, after the show in Vancouver, of course. The only other match officially announced for that show is Gunther defending against Damian Priest, which I am looking forward to that match. That'll be a good match. I like both guys a lot. So, all right. AEW, unless the chat has anything WWE they want us to talk about. I see the chat's now blowing up talking about Dwayne Johnson's IMDb page. Tooth Fairy, Doom, the game plan.
Jesus.
God, Doom was an all-time bad one. Game plan, I feel like I've seen that. It's been a while.
Didn't he do Rampage, San Andreas?
Yep.
Yeah.
Black Adam.
Bad. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I was working at Best Buy when all of his early movies started coming out on DVD back then. And I was buying all of them. I have a lot. I even have Doom, but I got it for like $5. It was on sale, I think, Black Friday. But I was like, all right, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm going to buy every single one of The Rock's movies. That ended very quickly. I would say by about 2005, I was out, maybe earlier than that.
Central Intelligence was okay.
Never saw
it. I actually saw that in the theaters. And it was okay.
Is that the Kevin Hart one?
Yes.
Okay.
Might have been one of the first ones he did with Kevin Hart. I don't know how many he's done since.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably about 300 with the way Kevin Hart puts out movies.
Yeah.
Straight to streaming.
He's done good stuff. It's just that, you know, it seemed like he was taking every single script. I mean, look, dude was getting paid. I guess I can't hate too much, but I did really like Ballers. I've said that on the pod before on HBO. That was a good show. Ballers is really good. But as far as full length movies go, they have been few and far between.
It felt like he was trying, at least at the beginning, taking some interesting parts. Southland Tales was a movie that I actually kind of dug a little bit, even though I also am not 100% sure it was good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had a bit part in that he was pretty good at. And there was another one that I can't think of off the top of my head. But then he just stopped trying, just decided he wants to be an action hero.
Yeah. It was just when he was doing a lot of the kids movies, things got pretty derailed for a while, I would say. And then he got back on the gas and came back to WWE and blew up again.
Love to see.
He was pretty thin there for a while. Man, you know, I never thought this podcast would become a Dwayne Johnson rundown, pun intended, of his movie career, but here we are.
Oh, can you name the movie that he was going to film when he got injured at WrestleMania 29?
Was that the Baywatch one? No.
Nope.
So this was
bad.
It wasn't Pain and Gain, was it?
Nope.
Okay.
That was right before, I think. Maybe.
That's what he got huge for.
Yeah. I can't remember.
It was that stupid Hercules movie where he had the awful wig. Oh, man, that was shit.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's go AEW. I see a lot of these people in the chat probably want to hear us talk AEW. So let's get to AEW. Sorry, that's all we got WWE this week. More next time. Classic WWE over on TRN Classics. That's where you can find the WWE.
And an Al Bundy intro.
Yeah, the Al Bundy intro. That is right.
Nice job on that.
I did find it for that TRN Classics. And I posted it as a short on our YouTube channel, too. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, check out the YouTube short of Al Bundy introducing Saturday Night's Main Event. Worth your watch. It's here on the channel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. So Dynamite last night was interesting in that I heard a lot of people very positive on the show. I watched it. I really enjoyed it too. You know, Justin, you were pretty vocal in our Facebook group ahead of time about, you know, being pretty excited for the card.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the show had two different ways of looking at it. You look at what was presented on the screen, the booking for Full Gear, the match quality. But then there's the ongoing issues with the crowds.
Yeah.
Or in this show in particular, crowd participation. The crowd was terrible last night, Justin.
It's so weird. It's like the it used to be the reliable things were, and one of them is still true, is that AEW will deliver on their pay-per-views. The pay-per-view shows will be good, irregardless of how bad or non-existent the builds are. So I still think Full Gear is going to be awesome. But the lackluster crowds for the past few weeks is really worrying, and apparently Full Gear is not selling very well. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around when I'm watching the AEW product and it feels like it's getting a lot better and more consistent. And yet we're not seeing it, you know, in ticket sales or enthusiasm for people who are attending the shows. And you know, I know a big part of it is, as we've talked about before, is ticket prices. You know, not too long ago, they had Collision in Cedar Rapids, which is only 45 minutes away from my house. And I wasn't going to go. But, you know, it ended up being something my kid wanted for his birthday. So it happened. But I wasn't going to go because tickets were too freaking expensive for a Collision show that, you know, they kind of just slapped together. Do you guys have theories? Is it just, you know, high ticket prices where people are having to make a decision as to what they're going to attend, and the fact that people are getting what they want from WWE, which is the brand they grew up on. So they're just leaning more that way.
Jesse, you want to jump in?
Ooh, I'm starting to think that's part of it. Is they're gravitating back towards World Wrestling Entertainment? Because again, they are selling out almost, I think they're selling out almost everything still. Has anybody heard any different?
I mean, yeah, pretty close. And they're not really running many house shows. So, I mean, it's pretty much TV. Yeah. And so people always jump for the TV. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then I think, oh my gosh, when All Elite Wrestling was created, I remember saying that it was an independent on steroids, just with Tony Khan's money and like really good independent wrestling. It's now kind of starting to fall in line with Ring of Honor, maybe in the mid 2000s. I think in terms of the way that they're selling these things, I mean, obviously they're doing probably twice as good as that,
yeah.
But I mean, you're only getting 500 to 1,000 people back then. Right now you're only getting about 2,500. That's really difficult to see. I don't know if people feel that the stories aren't strong enough, because the wrestling, I feel, is still strong enough. They're now starting to pivot and reverse course with their storytelling and actually go through motions that to put them on the right track, because Full Gear, I feel, is on the right track with all of the matches and how that they've been built. But
top to bottom,
not clicking.
Top to bottom, the card, they're actually like putting storylines in place for every match. It's not just the top of the card, you know?
Yeah.
You can also see a clear destination, I think, for World's End, as well as leading into next year where they're going to, I feel, especially at the top with the world title picture.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things at play. I mean, when Dynamite first started, it was the hot new thing. Everyone in the wrestling world was talking about it. There hadn't been a real competitor to WWE since WCW. They had these names that were hot on the independent scene, but also, you know, they had some bigger names like Cody, then Punk when he finally came over, or when he finally came back, that the general public knew. Honestly, the ticket prices weren't that bad either. I mean, I'm looking at those Collision ticket prices like Justin's talking about, and at least when they first went on sale, I mean, to get a really good close seat for Collision, I mean, that was close to what I paid for a ticket, I think, for All Out 2021. I mean, really? And I'm talking lower level seats. You know, like those ticket prices for a random Saturday night TV were just too high. And they did come down as the show got closer. But I think what they came down to, and then they started to fill up, you know, what they had set up the venue for, that's where they should have started out. I think it's better to just move the tickets and maybe hook some new fans, because it's, you know, we've talked about this. ad nauseum on the show, but it's, if you have people curious, they want to take their kids, you're buying four tickets, you're spending $300 to go to these shows. People aren't going to drop that kind of money on a brand that they're only loosely familiar with. WWE, on the other hand, like you were talking about, Justin, what the reason for that is and people just going back. I think for a lot of people, WWE is just like, that's the hometown team for people. That's what they grew up on. It has the familiarity. I mean, look, we're fair on this show. Sometimes we've been really high in WWE. Other times we've been really low on WWE. Of course, we root for AEW because we want competition. Mm-hmm. But look around me on this set behind me. I got the classic WWF logo hat here. You know, I got the old Hasbros. For everyone our age, that's what they grew up on. And that's the hometown team. They want to see WWE strong too, because it's like, that's the comfort food that you're used to. And people have a hard time totally tuning out from it. And WWE's put on a good product. You know, Jesse and I, we've talked about it, a lot about it. Justin's a little resistant to watch it still, other than when I make him for the pod. But they're putting on good shows. I mean, they're entertaining shows. They have good characters. The production is so much better since Kevin Dunn got out of there. That, I mean, when I watch it, I understand why it's hot. And, you know, I've been to a few shows in recent years. I've been to a SmackDown not too long ago. And it is like, there's just that energy in the building. I mean, the set looks great. It's super major league. It's, I mean, everything. It's well run. It should be. It's been a national touring brand for, you know, 40 years. But I think it's hard to have two hot companies. There's very few times in history where we've had it. 98. Maybe if you go back to the 80s and you talk about Crockett, you know, a little bit different dynamic then, but they were still selling a lot of tickets at the same time WWF was. Go ahead, Justin.
I was just going to say, like, part of me is hesitant to even bring it up because it could just be the bubble we live in where, you know, we're really looking at social media, trying to figure out, you know, what fans are saying, how they're feeling, but part of me can't help but think that this tribalism that has really seemed to grow and increase between AEW fans versus WWE fans. And I mean, it's gotten really bad in the past couple of years, and it just seems to keep getting worse. I'm just wondering if people are trying to attach themselves to who they perceive to be the winners. And in this case, that's WWE, you know, and in a lot of cases, perception can be reality. You know, if it makes, and it's small stuff, it's going back to like ticket sales and attendance. It sucks that AEW can't, you know, circle the camera around the entire arena, because we know almost one entire side of it is empty. You know, that was so cool, you know, at Grand Slam when they could actually do that, because it just brings a total different energy to the show when the ring is surrounded by fans. And, you know, that could lead us into maybe our next discussion as we've talked about many times before, is what AEW can do. But do you think any of that could be the case, is that there is a little bit of tribalism and people wanting to attach themselves to who they think is just winning?
What do you think, Jesse?
That's a possibility. I think I'll use myself as an example. Back in 1997, in 1998, when I felt like I was watching WCW. I was barely watching WWF. And it wasn't because I didn't like the WWF. I just really enjoyed at that time what I felt actually was the coolest. I thought that like WCW, when they rolled out the NWO, I thought it was great. And I didn't catch on to the cutting edge stuff that was happening in the WWF from WrestleMania 13 until Survivor Series. So I think when we've been going back and doing these classic shows, I'm like, whoa, I shouldn't have been sucked into the tribalism, and I should have just been flipping back and forth like everybody else because I enjoyed pro wrestling.
Because so, I mean, your point, it was cool to be a WCW fan, you know, when the NWO was really hot, and it took quite a while for WWE to catch up with that until they created their own hot products like Austin and DX.
Well, the other thing too is, like, say you're a dad, like we all are, and you think back to like the nostalgia of watching wrestling as a kid. If you're watching TV with your kids, they're like, hey, you guys want to check out wrestling? Have you ever seen wrestling? 90% of people are going to turn on WWE. That's what they know. There's just, the familiarity factor. You would have to be kind of a wrestling nerd like we are again to be like, hey, let's check out AEW. Like, for most people, if you just think of wrestling, you know, it's WWE. Again, hometown team kind of feel with it. So I think all of that plays a factor in this. Our friend Jay here in the chat mentioning the Twitter bots trashing the product, make it hard to be an online fan. Again, selling point of Blue Sky, because you don't get that over there. Honestly, people like shut you down if you get too critical. It's like, it's a very positive environment I've seen in social media. And if you're one of these people that goes on there and just complains about wrestling, like, everyone's going to mute you. It's just a totally different vibe. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. Daniel in the chat said, kids go free. I wouldn't be a bad idea for AEW, honestly, or more ticket specials, that kind of thing, to get people in the building and start building up those fans.
So as we mentioned a million times before, they got to start running smaller venues, because I will sacrifice big arenas, like I said, just for them to be able to circle the entire crowd to get that full energy. And, you know, to the point of how bad their ticket sales are, I heard they canceled a Collision show
in Columbus. Yeah.
Because it wasn't selling.
I think they switched venues. Is that right?
Yes. They move it to a Comic-Con venue. I believe it's like not far down from the Nationwide Arena, I think, where the Blue Jackets play in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the show about how they should, you know, run more unique venues, smaller venues. And, you know, they're running Hammerstein in December, which I think that's one. I think we've called out that venue in particular on the pod as one that they should run. So I was happy to see that. I think they should do a lot more of that, because it's always fun just to, I mean, every modern arena looks exactly the same. Look, WWE is doing this big business, but like, no matter where they go, it all looks exactly the same on TV. But if you run places like Hammerstein, or you run like the Fox Theater or something in Michigan, like, that's going to look unique as hell on TV, and that's going to be super cool. So, and it's less tickets to sell too. So I think more of that is a good idea for them.
Well, that's, you know, for those few weeks that they were running the Collision Arlington shows, mm-hmm. those felt unique. I mean, granted, you know, it got repetitive, but yeah, give me small and unique over big and empty.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pumped for, like I said, I'm looking into it still, that NXT Deadline show at the Armory. Tickets are a little bit higher than I want them to be, so I'm going to wait for them to come down and see if I'm going to go. But yeah, I mean, that's like a 3,000 seat venue that I think would do a wonderful job with how it looks, and especially the sound. The surround sound's going to be awesome there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as far as I think the ticket sales are going for Full Gear, and Andrew talked about this in our chat too. I pulled up WrestleTix. They had an update on it yesterday. So Prudential Center in Newark, they've got it set up for about 6,800 people, and they've sold 6,100 tickets. So as of yesterday, there's 759 tickets available. So it will sell out by the time they get there. They'll fill that up. 700 tickets is not much in the last couple of weeks before the show. But I think for the week to week, again, looking at different venues, I think they're making the right move there. Absolutely. I think ticket prices, talked about a lot on the show, but that's definitely something to look at.
Yeah.
And there's not that one red hot act right now either that's driving ticket sales up. Even though we keep mentioning handful of people we would love to see be that red hot act, they just haven't caught enough fire right now.
Yeah, I mean, Will Ospreay feels like he's cooled down quite a bit. Swerve has cooled off quite a bit. You know, they lost Danielson, they lost Sting. Not that he was ever like the driving force for anything, but they got some work to do. And, you know, and even though I've wasn't really feeling this Mox Death Riders, you know, versus the mid-card baby faces, it is starting to grow on me a little bit. I think they're doing a good job making me a bit more curious about what's going on there, you know, giving me the feelings a little bit. You know, a lot of that is Orange Cassidy is just really good at his job. Darby is incredible. He was just amazing on this most recent Dynamite. I was giggling like a little schoolgirl when he hopped into the back of that truck while it was starting to drive off. That was just incredible stuff. But they have pieces. It's just they gotta keep staying consistent with it, because it's something we've talked about a lot in the past. I'm sorry I keep kind of regurgitating that saying over and over again on this show, but you know, predictability is not always a bad thing in professional wrestling. It's nice, neat, clean storylines that we can kind of see where it's going, and you know, maybe you sprinkle in a surprise here and there. That's what we're looking for in AEW. For a large part of the year was really inconsistent. Storylines would start and then just be dropped out of nowhere. You know, guys and girls would go from babyface to heel, you know, or vice versa with no explanation. So it's nice that they seem to be leaning into a little bit more clean storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's few and far between now. I think the only one really over the last month has been Chris Statlander. It's kind of a weird one that went from heel or face to heel to face. But other than that, yeah, everything's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, I know. It takes time. You know, you can't turn the product around overnight. You just got to stay the course. And I think the last several months, honestly, like their last couple of pay-per-views have all been built up pretty darn well. And like, yeah, this is a promotion that is still just stocked full of talent. I mean, we talk about all the time about the future world champions. Last week on the show, we talked about, I think it was last week, the secondary champions and who should hold those belts. And it's like, there's tons of options. Now you got Speedball Mike Bailey, apparently breaking tonight, is on his way over to AEW. I mean, like, that's not going to move the needle for the general public, but hardcore fans are going to be excited about that, you know, and however they bring him in and debut him. He's had a lot of buzz online for years now. You guys have any ideas on how you think they should debut him? I know I didn't tell you I was going to throw this question at you, but anything that's come to mind at all since you heard the news?
No, I'm just relieved AEW finally got a small flippy guy for some matches. That's a relief. It's what they need.
I mean, he's in the chat right here. Jay, he texted me right when we saw the news, and he was like, they should just put him in the Continental Classic right off the top.
Oh, yeah. Great idea. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Makes the most sense, I think. They'll get buzz out of it.
Yeah, he's been breaking Meltzer's star ratings in PWG and in TNA and in Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. Go figure. So, I mean, the guy has a lot of skill. I've watched a handful of his matches. I'm looking forward to seeing him on this large stage. Now it's just a matter of, can you do something with him storyline-wise instead of just having 20-minute humpers on television every week? And then an unbelievable pay-per-view match.
That's kind of the thing, is like, AEW isn't lacking in guys that can go out there and have a great match. We're kind of in desperate need of some great characters.
Yes.
Which, you know, talking about, you know, the slump that they're in, although like we've all been enjoying it quite a bit lately, but you know, looking for something to get them hot again, you look at maybe the story they're telling stays consistent. If they have an end game, and then you look at the names that could be coming back with Omega and Copeland and Kingston, hopefully sometime in the near future, and things could change really quick for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, getting Omega back is going to be huge. He is one of those guys who's never been to WWE, but always has the buzz, and he's been gone for so long that I think there's going to be some momentum when he comes back for sure.
In the interview that was odd today was Sean Ross Sapp saying that Justin mentioned it last week. He's just said that he's like, why are they going back to New Japan? He just says right now he doesn't want to take a spot away from someone on AEW right now. And he doesn't feel like he could add too much to a storyline at this moment, which means my guess would be like leading into Revolution next year. And as long as he stays healthy, of course, diverticulitis. Got to keep in mind he had that a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Justin made the great point last week about that. You don't bring him back unless you have something for him. Don't just bring him back to bring him back. They need to bring him back in an impactful way. And if they can do that, then you can parlay that into some real hype and hopefully some ticket movement and a big pay-per-view buy rate. Because you just throw him on the show, just wrestling, you know, oh, Kenny Omega's back next week. And he just has some match that nobody cares about. That's not going to do anything for you. So you only get so many of these top guys making these anticipated returns after, you know, like a year off, that you got it. You got to really make something big out of it. So I was glad to hear that. They're not rushing it back by any means.
And treat Omega like, you know, the top singles competitor he is too. I didn't hate his trios run, or in his tag team with Hangman was awesome, but we need a strong singles run for Omega.
Belt Collector Part 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anything else from Dynamite you guys want to talk about? Like, there was so much stuff I liked. That Julia Hart promo was freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really well shot.
I mean, anyone who listens to this pod knows how high we were on Julia Hart for months and months and months, you know, before she got that championship win, on everything that she had done to improve. And, you know, the women's division's really going to go up a notch when she gets back, let alone all the talent they already have there. I think since Penelope Ford has come back, she's been a breath of fresh air too. She's been really good. I know she took the L this week, but I mean, she's been great since she's been back too. I mean, I put this AEW women's division up against any wrestling promotions, women's division.
Yeah, for sure. I was just trying to, I just lost my point here. It was Julia Hart's promo from Collision, or the original from over on Saturday. I mean, that was the lead in to the one on Dynamite this week. Yeah,
she got shot with the arrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they don't go too spooky with her, you know, spooky magic. I have little concerns with that watching the promo, but the promo was so good that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's always the thing with her, though. I remember saying on the pod when she started doing this gimmick that she was what WWE wanted the spooky Alexa Bliss to be. But the Alexa Bliss spooky stuff was just hokey as hell with her magic. And, you know, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I think you got to walk a fine line with this kind of a storyline, but like Julia does it very well. It's not, now, of course, yeah, they got into the supernatural with the promo video, but like when she's out there in front of the crowd, it's not above believability. Like, she's not throwing lightning bolts at people, you know. So it works.
There's a lot of moving parts right now. Like, Jamie Hayter's promo got cut off because she was about to say who she was going to lead into, and then that's when Julia's promo cut in. Mm-hmm. You have that. I just see Anna Jay's name in the chat, as she's got another rematch coming up here, a third installment with Mariah May. I'm assuming that Mina is going to be the one that's going to interfere on Mariah's behalf, perhaps, or maybe they're leading towards Mariah and Mina, I think, soon. One or the other. Tony Storm has obviously taken a backseat, which I think is okay right now. Britt Baker's kind of in no man's or no woman's land. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, she hasn't looked the best, but I mean, her presence there should make a difference. Harley Cameron, from what I read from a lot of people, the character is fantastic.
Yeah. She's so hilarious.
So maybe they'll do something with her. I mean, who the heck knows? Yeah, there's just a lot of women. And who knows what's going to happen with Camille, too. I think once this Mercedes-Chris Statlander match is done here at Full Gear, who knows? I mean, maybe Camille splits off with Mercedes and she takes off and feuds with Mercedes, or goes on to bigger and better things. I mean, she went undefeated for 3 years. I mean, she's had a presence.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand why Sean in the chat hates boobs. I didn't find anything wrong with that segment.
I will say, like, for Harley Quinn, it wasn't her most funny segment. She's done a lot of stuff on Collision that's been really, really funny. It was fine. It wasn't her best segment in recent weeks, but, you know, there were other reasons to like it.
Yeah, Harley Cameron can't hit them all.
Yeah. Surprised that FTR took the loss in the main event?
Yes, but I surprised in a good way. Mm-hmm. I was just watching that match, enjoying it. I thought it was a solid match, but pretty stunned that, God, I was going to call them House of Black, but they're the Kings of the Black Throne or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
and happy to see that too. You know, I want to see more Malachi Black. You know, hopefully he can really get his feet underneath him with a steady run. So I had no problems with that, especially the way it finished. Mm-hmm. I love when Brody King finishes guys with that sleeper hold. I think it's fantastic. Do you guys like it?
Malachi looked motivated.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
That was a big one. I mean, and also not only that, I was curious if the PWG Tag Team Championships were on the line last night, just the way they were working. I'm with you, by the way, Justin.
I thought it was a happy surprise because, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, I'll just chime in real quick. Happy surprise because going in, it seemed like, all right, of course FTR is going to win, but they didn't. And, you know, extend this chase that FTR has, you know, getting back into the title picture. I'm totally fine with that.
You know, my first thought was this could be an interesting curveball for the continued relationship between FTR and the Outrunners. You know, it could end up being the heel turn and maybe the Outrunners' first feud as tag champs, or maybe FTR just costs them the title at Full Gear. They can have a feud with FTR to further build them up and then, you know, maybe gear Outrunners up for the tag team championships. God, I wouldn't wait too long, maybe early 25, but you don't want to lose the momentum you have there.
Yeah.
Yeah, two more things. I was going to say Brody King in a singles run, yes, because you mentioned it last week. Justin signed me up for that. He was in the Continental Classic last year, which I'm pumped for that season starting in 2 weeks. That was a breath of fresh air I felt last winter, late last fall. That's number one. And we haven't talked about this. Private Party winning the tag team championships, and I was not happy with that at all. I know a lot of people were, but again, I mean, I feel they're an underdog story. Number one, they were getting treated like little stepbrothers by Blackpool Combat Club. They looked completely inferior for months, and they did not get the correct build. I think the correct build would have been to have them go through this gauntlet right now, go beat an FTR, go beat House of Black, go beat somebody else, then go back to the Young Bucks. Then win the tag team championships instead of the way you just shoehorned it. So not thrilled with the way they've done it. I don't know if they're going to even go with a long run in this, or if like we're already crowning the Outrunners as favorites to emerge as the next tag team champions as well. So and then you got LFI and the Acclaimed as well on Saturday, which we could be seeing a Max Caster, Anthony Bowens split. Send Anthony Bowens on his way to a singles run, please.
Agreed. Yeah, I kind of agree with you because, you know, the match they had with Private Party before the title one was so good. And it kind of felt to me like, you know, if you were going to pull the trigger on the championship win, they should have just done it there rather than just immediately running it back. If you were going to run it back, I agree. They should have had to go through more to get up to that point. And now you're in this weird situation where you have this super hot team and the Outrunners who are so entertaining, but it's a team, like, to Justin's point, that's not going to last a real long time. You know, like, it's this novel 80s throwback thing and it's entertaining, but it has a shelf life. So you don't want to wait too long. Right.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
We got a super chat from Sean. Let's go to that one. Thank you, Sean, for the super chat. Statlander, to me, is just so bland, and then she turned face. Why? Thoughts?
I liked her more as a heel as well.
Yeah.
She was doing great work with Stokely.
Agree. I think there's more meat on the bone there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it feels like they wanted somebody to go against Mercedes, and so it was like, well, we got to turn her then. If we want her in that title picture, I think it was necessitated by the match they wanted to book rather than the character that they should be booking, I think. And that's a problem. I agree with you, Sean. She was much better before.
It seemed like the epitome of, like, Tony just laid out his women's roster in front of him and just, like, was trying to figure out who Mercedes could face next. And he was just like, oh, crap, I don't really have anybody ready for that. So I guess I'm going to have to do a little flip-flop with Statlander.
Plus, you know, he probably sees the dynamic of Camille and her two pretty strong, you know, bigger women that, you know, he liked that dynamic in the feud. So he probably felt like, well, I guess I got to flip her to the babyface side. But I agree, not for the better. Definitely not for the better in that case.
And if Statlander is unsuccessful, which she might win this thing. If she is unsuccessful, watch her get elevated to the world championship picture instead, because that's been kind of a trope of Tony Khan over the last 2 to 3 years. When the TBS title was introduced, whoever loses it immediately gets thrown in the world title picture. And it's so odd. You need to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? How have you guys, let me throw this at you, because I saw some criticism out there. How have you guys felt about the booking of Jay White since he's been back in the fold? Good, bad, indifferent?
It's still kind of wait and see for me, because I am curious about a Jay White babyface run, but there is something just kind of inherently yucky about him. I don't have a better word to put it. It's just, there's something about him. I see him and I want to boo, but the flip side of it is I freaking love Juice Robinson.
Yes.
And so like being attached to him, it's like, okay, well, I do maybe kind of want to cheer him a little bit. And I'm really digging Hangman's heel run.
Yeah.
So there is part of me that thinks it should be working better than it is, but they also just haven't done enough yet. I'm kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop as far as this story goes.
Yeah. I think he's been booked strong enough. You know, like he got a win on pay-per-view over Hangman, who had just, you know, beat Swerve. So, you know, I don't agree with the criticism that they haven't pushed him hard. I think they have. I mean, if you're not going to make the guy world champion, which of course they're not going to do, or give him immediately a some kind of title, I think the win over Hangman in that scenario, you know, at WrestleDream, coming off of All Out, like that's about as strong as you could do for the guy, you know, putting him back in the fold. But yeah, it kind of, you know, he had the six-man run and everything. He had a world title match on pay-per-view during his run in AEW. I do think he's a guy whose ceiling is higher than he's shown in the company so far, though.
And he's been heavily protected as well. I think in the Continental Classic, I mean, he only lost one singles match. He lost in the triple threat too, but it's just super odd seeing him as a face right now. I think once he goes back to being a natural heel like he is, that's when his stock is going to rise. Because I've mentioned, I think it took a while for me to grow, or just for Jay White to grow on me. As soon as he became the Bullet Club leader and he's able to show more charisma and show that he could be a leader of a heel faction and do damn well at it, I think that's when I just realized, all right, I was completely wrong about this guy. So give him a little bit more time. But I think as soon as you flip it back, I think that's when we're going to start to see some bigger things out of him. And he's going to fit in that upper 8 to 10, I think, guys for over the course of the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Sean asked in the chat, does Jay beat Hangman again?
My gut says no, but it's also one of the things where, like, if there's anybody that could eat two pay-per-view losses in a row and not really be hurt from it, it's Hangman. You know, I mean, his story right now really isn't based on wins and losses. It's about him losing his mind.
Yeah.
So in that regards, it could work, and it would do a whole lot more for Jay than it would hurt Hangman.
If you put it that way, and it makes him more of a berserk human being, then I'm okay with it. But I mean, he lost what, 2 or 3 times to Swerve last year at the same time. And I get it. I mean, it really helped elevate Swerve. Fantastic job. It was the right move in that moment. We're definitely not second guessing that one, but at some point in time, when is it going to devalue his character? It has to at some point if he keeps losing.
Yeah, it's because I mean, at the same time, if he keeps winning, where do you go with him? Because just again, the heel face dynamic, he can't really get into that world title picture right now with Mox. So there's a ceiling on where you can go. You could insert Jay White into that picture. So that would make sense, you know, if he gets another win, that they start moving Jay White that direction.
Didn't Jay White beat Mox in the Continental Classic?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So that would be a pretty, if White does beat Hangman at Full Gear, I mean, I would not be opposed to a Moxley White, you know, headline match at World's End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'll that way, and then you save Darby for Revolution next year.
Yeah, I don't hate mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys wanted to hit before we hit the road tonight?
Quite thankful that Konosuke Takeshita beat Adam Cole.
Yes.
Agreed.
That was big. Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting MJF Roderick Strong at Full Gear. It's going to lead to MJF and Cole down the road. But again, you can't weaken Takeshita right now either.
No. That was predicted on this podcast last week, of course. Yeah. Made the most sense. I mean, for sure. Yeah. So again, this was a pretty loose show, you guys. We were expecting it to kind of be this way, where we're just going to throw some topics and be pretty loose tonight. Didn't think we'd get on that Dwayne Johnson tangent, but that was fun. Never know what's going to happen on Top Rope Nation. But sometimes these shows are a lot of fun, because a lot of times we come in and we have like a hard focus on like reviewing this show. We're doing a preview of this show, but sometimes we just, I mean, honestly, we came into the show with zero format. We had no idea where we were going. We got a pretty active chat room tonight,
mm-hmm.
which has made it fun again last week too. So 2 weeks in a row where you guys have been very active with us, and we appreciate all of you who tune in live. And again, like I said at the top of the show, if you are not already a patron, you're going to want to be a patron, not to block your video there, Jesse.
But, that's fine.
Here, I can do this. Scan that QR code. Check out the Patreon page. Bonus content, including a very much hyped edition of TRN Classics coming here in a couple of weeks. I can guarantee you that you're not going to want to miss it. And just dive into the archives, too. I mean, there's people that have been signing up for a Patreon in the last couple of months that, you know, they got so many old podcasts to go back and get to, classic shows that we did years ago that people haven't heard yet. Like you mentioned the old War Games matches earlier. Did we do 91 and 92 on classics? I feel like
I'm pretty sure we did.
I'm pretty sure we've done both of them. So dip into the TRN Classics archives. Our most dedicated listeners, you know, this is not me saying it. They all say Classics is the best podcast that we do. And you can only hear that on the Patreon side. We love talking old school pro wrestling, and that's the bonus show over on Patreon. So try for a month, you know, see if you like it, and we would be honored to have your support as we head into 2025 here pretty soon. This show has been going for almost 8.5 years. Wild, you guys.
It's incredible.
Hard to believe. 300 and what was it? 60 some shows or something like that here on the main feed, and another 160 on the Patreon feed. So that is a lot of, sometime I should figure out if you laid out all of our podcasts and you just played them one after the other, how many days it would take you to listen to the whole thing. I can't even imagine how many hours that would be. That would be fun to know though.
You're in thousands.
Thousands and thousands of hours. Yes. All right, everybody. With that, we're going to hit the road. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for your support. Join the Facebook group. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. You can talk to us every single day over there as well. And we hope you all have a great weekend. Take care. See you all next week.
I'll just keep on walking in the cold November rain.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.